Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Okay, time for state politics. So let's talk about a proposed bill on Beacon Hill, one that's generating quite a bit of controversy. It's called an Act Prohibiting Discrimination in State Contracts. And here's what it would do. It would require any person or business seeking a state contract of more than $10,000 to certify that they're in compliance with Massachusetts anti-discrimination law. Well, the bill finds itself at the nexus of a heated debate over Israel, the Palestinian people, and the right to boycott. A similar debate and a variety of proposed legislation is also going on in some 30 other states. And there's a federal bill with even clearer goals. That one's called the Israel Anti-Boycott Act and could include some criminal prosecution. Now, proponents in this state, in Massachusetts, note that this state's proposal makes no mention of Israel or the boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement. But opponents argue that the bill infringes on free speech. So we're going to get both views about this legislation today, and we'll begin with Aaron Ogulnik. He's the director of government affairs at the Jewish Community Relations Council of Greater Boston, a group that supports the bill. Aaron, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you, Meghna.
So first of all, tell me, why do you and the Jewish Community Relations Council believe that Massachusetts needs this law?
So we became involved in this bill because we were hearing that Israelis, and in particular Israeli business owners here in the Commonwealth, were feeling targeted based solely on who they are in terms in the business arena. So while looking through our state's procurement laws, we noticed that there was a loophole of sorts that existed where there are laws that disallow discrimination in various areas, but in terms of the opposite side of the business relationship in terms of the sellers versus buyers, there was nothing really that protected business owners from being targeted for who they were.
Business owners here in the Commonwealth?
Yes. So what I mean by that is that there are current anti-discrimination laws which exist.
Right.
And as we know, those apply in housing, employment, and public accommodations. So if you hold yourself open as a business, you cannot refuse to serve someone or hire someone, or you can't fire someone based on their inherent characteristics. But what there is no protection for is if you as a business owner or a contractor of the state say, I will not do business with for instance, Israeli business owner, as of right now, there is no current protection for that business owner, and the state is powerless to do anything in that circumstance.
So some people who are concerned about this bill say that they don't feel, what they feel the bill does is that it equates discrimination based on national origin, which is definitely problematic, equates that with political protest against the actions of a state, which is different. I mean, what's your response to that?
Certainly. And I think that we agree with that. We think that there are lines where political boycotts are very different. But the distinction is when you turn a political boycott against a foreign government or the actions of somebody, but then begin to twist it into taking it out on who somebody is, that's where this line of a political boycott becomes very hazy and becomes real subject to discrimination. So for instance, in the context of the Israel-Palestinian debate, a boycott against the Israeli government, this bill has nothing to do with that. The boycott of a company that does something or its actions, this bill does nothing to do with that. But when that boycott starts moving against and starts targeting Israelis solely for the fact that they're Israeli, we find that to be something that is potentially problematic.
But how could you determine that? You know, like how can you determine that intent?
So like all anti-discrimination laws, a lot of it comes down to the intent of the individual. Mm-hmm. So all of them, you have to look at the facts and circumstances. And what we've seen across the country and even here in the Commonwealth, where different municipalities have created tougher regulations within their own individual procurement codes that go beyond the state's anti-discrimination laws, that there haven't really been enforcement because in large part it creates a deterrent effect, not a deterrent effect on engaging in free speech, but a deterrent effect on determining, is this crossing the line? When does it cross the line? When is it legitimate? And all this bill does is says that the Commonwealth should be neutral. And if a situation rises to the level of where foreign nationals or citizens here within the United States of a background should be targeted, then the state should act, as it has acted in many, many different areas.
Right. This is so interesting because the role that the state should or shouldn't play in these issues is a compelling and complicated question, because another way of looking at it is that in the past, Massachusetts, or the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, has actually actively inserted itself in questions of boycotts. For example, I mean, I'm looking at this. These are some dates that come from a recent op-ed that appeared in the Boston Globe, that back in 1982, Massachusetts enacted a different law that ended investment of public pension funds in firms doing business in South Africa, right? With apartheid South Africa. They did something similar in 1996 when the legislature passed a law boycotting the state of Myanmar, aka Burma, because of its pervasive human rights abuses. And at the city level, just last year, about a bit over a year ago, the city council voted unanimously to boycott the state of North Carolina because of its, you know, so-called bathroom bill. So that's the other side of the coin here, that when it comes to issues or regimes that the state feels don't align with the values of Massachusetts, they've had no problem with supporting boycotts.
Right, exactly. And that is the exact point that we're making here, is that who should determine where that line draws?
But it almost seems as if the state would be in violation of its own law if this bill passes.
Oh, no. Well, that's a good point. However, in the bill, and I always encourage people, especially when there's a heated debate, to read the bill. I'm not suggesting yourself, of course.
I have read it.
Of course you have.
I got both copies right here because it's actually really short. It's just two pages long.
It's a short bill. It is what it is. It says what it says. But in fact, within that bill is language that says if there is state law or federal law that in essence requires you to discriminate based on national origin, then that would not put you in conflict with this law. So in essence, the citation of those examples, which there's a good reason why those are the examples, are the times where the state has said, these are the examples that cross the line. This is where we should act. And all this bill is doing is saying that the state, as a market participant, has a right to express its own views. And this state has a very, very strong policy of non-discrimination. We stand at the forefront of extending protections to as many people as we possibly can. This bill mirrors that exact situation. All it does is says that you cannot, if you decide you want to hold someone accountable based on who they are and not anything that they've done, the state is not going to subsidize that type of discrimination. That's what the bill does.
Well, Aaron Agolnik is the Director of Government Affairs at the Jewish Community Relations Council of Greater Boston, and they support this proposed legislation currently on Beacon Hill. Aaron, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you. My pleasure.
All right. Well, let's turn now and get a different perspective on this. We have Liza Berendt. She's on the line. She's a member of Jewish Voice for Peace Boston and the Massachusetts Freedom to Boycott Coalition. They represent some 60 activist organizations that oppose this proposed legislation. Liza, welcome to Radio Boston.
Hi, Meghna. Thank you so much for having me on.
Well, thank you. Let me just get right to one major question that
Great.
Aaron raised, and which is why should the Commonwealth effectively, by granting contracts to companies or individuals that may choose to boycott Israeli companies, why should the Commonwealth be subsidizing another group's political speech or decisions?
So this bill, this anti-boycott bill, its supporters are basing their argument on a fundamental misconception about what boycotts of Israel actually look like and are actually happening here in Massachusetts. So Palestinians called in 2005 for people of conscience around the world to engage in a variety of economic pressure, so boycott, divestment, and sanctions, BDS, on the state of Israel and entities that are directly complicit in Israeli violence against Palestinians, until Israel respects basic international law and human rights premises. So something that's really key to this strategy is that BDS activists target institutions. They target corporations, universities, major institutions that are directly complicit in violence.
But you heard
there's actually not a single example of an Israeli individual in Massachusetts or anywhere that I know of who has been targeted for their identity.
Well, forgive me for interrupting you a little bit earlier, but I mean, is there not the danger, though, that under the guise of political boycott, that folks could end up being unfairly targeted as individuals?
I mean, sure, anyone can use a moral political campaign as a guise for their own personal biases, but Massachusetts law already protects that. A number of leading constitutional lawyers from Harvard Law School, Columbia Law School, and some major civil rights law organizations, including the American Civil Liberties Union, have all come out with statements saying that this bill actually does not offer any new protections for individuals who are discriminated against based on their identity. So the Israeli individuals who Mr. Ogulnik is referencing, whoever they are, would already be protected by discrimination law, and companies that choose not to do business with them based on their identity already would not be able to contract with the state. What we have here is an attempt to silence Palestinian grassroots nonviolent activists who are asking for basic respect and dignity, and their allies who are fighting for justice in the tradition of some of the wonderful movements you referenced just now, the boycotts of Myanmar and Burma, boycotts of South Africa, boycotts of North Carolina based on its anti-LGBT bias.
Well, if I could just jump in here, I mean, I clearly hear a difference of opinion between you and Aaron Ogulnik about whether or not there's a loophole in state law, and we can't necessarily come to a complete clarification on that. And listeners, I'm sorry, we'll keep trying, but let me ask you, if I may, I still want to get to this question of what role should the state be playing when it comes to political expression through the form of a boycott, for example, because, on the one hand, I know you and other groups say that this proposal has the potential to chill speech, but as we heard from Aaron Ogulnik, he says the thing that it would chill is discriminatory conduct, which perhaps the state should be trying to, do what it can to chill discriminatory conduct.
Sure. Yeah. And again, the state already does that. And so I should say I'm not a lawyer. So these legal arguments that I'm making are conclusions I've drawn from a set of statements from constitutional lawyers mm-hmm. and civil rights organizations. But boycott is protected by the First Amendment, and this was stated in the 1982 Supreme Court's case, Claiborne Hardware versus NAACP. It's a constitutionally protected right. And it is against the law for the state to force a contractor to give up a constitutionally protected right as a condition of a state contract. So it is indeed unconstitutional to say we won't contract with you because of political positions you are taking. And I also want to say, because there are many questions about how this bill would actually be enforced, whether or not it is enforced, and no matter how it is enforced, the intent of this bill counts. And the intent is to silence Palestinian people who are simply asking for equal rights, and to intimidate people of conscience in Massachusetts who might otherwise want to support them and take their money out of Israeli violence against Palestinians.
Well, we'll have to see what happens to this bill as it progresses through Beacon Hill. But Liza, just one last question for you. Do you think there's any common ground between you and other groups whom you're allied with and folks who are in support of the bill when it comes to, finding some common ground when it comes to opposing discrimination in state contracts?
That's a great question. I think that Mr. Ogulnik and I, everyone who is speaking out for or against this bill, cares very deeply about stopping discrimination in Massachusetts and working towards a just peace in Palestine, Israel. What troubles me is that there are some legislators who see the situation in Palestine right now, where Palestinians are living under a completely different set of laws. They are not allowed to drive on the same streets. They are not allowed to enter communities where Israelis live. people in Gaza have their electricity cut off for 22 hours a day right now because Israel is controlling the utilities for millions of people, and it's a terrible humanitarian crisis. And there are certain legislators who, instead of saying, how can we foster a commonwealth where progressive activists and change makers can work together to come up with productive next steps to work for international peace? Mm-hmm. They want to silence Palestinians who care about this and are working to make nonviolent, peaceful change.
Well, Liza, if I may just jump in here. Sorry, I'm just out of time for this segment. That's Liza Barrett. She's a member of the Massachusetts Freedom to Boycott Coalition and also of Jewish Voice for Peace Boston. She and her group and many others oppose the so-called boycott bill on Beacon Hill right now. Liza, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much, Meghna.
And a little bit earlier, we heard from Aaron Ogolnik. He's Director of Government Affairs at the Jewish Community Relations Council of Boston. They are in support of the bill currently pending on Beacon Hill. We'll see what happens. I have a feeling that this is a conversation we will return to. So thank you both so much for joining us. We'll be back. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.